what's going on from the trip. Now, why don't we start and open up in prayer, and then we'll go forward from there, okay? We'll explain a little bit about what we're doing and what happened, and we'll go from there. So, Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us and for our sin on the cross. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's given us new life, Lord God. Thank you that you bring salvation, Lord. Just like you saved those on the ark, you've offered salvation to every one of us, Lord God, that whoever would enter through the door, Jesus Christ, would be saved. And Lord, we just pray right now for each and every person here, Lord God, that you would strengthen their hearts and their spirit. Lord, I think of Jim and Marcia right now who are just called and just they're really struggling with spiritual warfare right now, Lord. And they just asked us all to pray. So would you guys just join me in praying for Jim and Marcia? Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for them, for their protection spiritually, physically, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the blood of Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ's name, that you would put a supernatural hedge of protection around them, Lord God. And whatever dizziness or whatever thoughts that are going through their heads, Lord God, whatever is going on, that you would just right now just take control of that whole situation and help them to make them obedient to Christ and your word, Lord God. I pray for the parents, Lord God, who that were all working tonight and weren't able to make it and those type things, Lord God, that you would... All the kids, Lord God, who are here, Lord, that this is even a big step for them, Lord. Just coming up, even in this group, and to come up and share what God spoke to them, Lord. For some of them, it is petrifying to them, Lord God, and so, Lord, I just pray that you'd help each one of them just to speak from their hearts, Lord God, about the trip, Lord, and don't feel like they have to be anything or do anything. Just speak truth from their hearts. So, Lord, help us to speak whatever your Holy Spirit has to say in each one of these youths, Lord God. Whatever it is, bring it back to remembrance. Bring it back to their heart and their mind and help them to speak it out, Lord God. We pray for your blessing over this church, your blessing over this school, Lord God. Lord, and no matter it seems like how much the enemy attacks, Lord, you're still right there doing a work in the midst. And I want to say thank you for that, Lord God. So even tonight, Lord God, would you just do a work, Lord God? You've ordained each person to be here, whether to speak or to listen. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each one of these people here tonight, including myself, Lord. And we pray your blessing on this evening as a whole. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Okay. Well, just so if you guys don't know, what's happened is... we go on a trip. We do for the older kids. We went to go see a few different things, kind of like a highlight. Sometimes it'll maybe next year, maybe a missions, maybe it might be Washington. We don't know. We're going to pray about it. But this year, for the older kids, we went to go see Ken Ham's Creation Museum in Kentucky, and we also went to go see the Ark Encounter. Okay, which. I think I could safely say would blow your mind, okay? And if the Creation Museum, if you thought that was good, I honestly think personal testimony, the Ark Encounter is something that every Christian should go see. I would encourage you to drive there to go experience that. It was nothing short of amazing how much, it was probably $100 million they spent in building this ark. It was just fantastic. And then what we would do is once we got up there, we would have devotionals. They were going through a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And I'll let some of the kids, if they have something to share about that. But what they would do is they would read in the morning a few chapters. We'd get up in the morning and have breakfast. Mrs. Hetherington would do an amazing job cooking. The kids ate better than like we do every day, eggs, bacon, sausage. Oh, sorry. Except for, of course, my wife, which is always perfect. And so it was amazing. And then the kids would take an hour or two. They would just do devotions, and they would just seek the Lord and read. And then we would go off for the day. to one of these places and tour around. And then we would have a devotional time where we'd all get together, and each student and each adult mostly would come and they would share what God was speaking to them. It was nothing short of amazing what these kids were saying. I almost wish I would have recorded it. It was just that much of a God thing. What God was showing them at the Creation Museum, and God was showing them in through the book and through our devotional times. And one person would say something, then another one, yeah, it's like this. Oh, yeah, God is doing this. It was so amazing. And so then after, hello, and then after the Creation Museum, and then after the Ark Encounter, and then after devotionals we would have every day, morning and night, we would come on the way back, our last day, we went to Charles Stanley's church. And for those of you who don't know who he's kind of like Billy Graham is more of an evangelist, that's good, but he's like a modern-day Billy Graham, yes, but more like of a preacher. Mm-hmm. Now he's about 80 or 90, so if you're, I grew up listening to him. You know, he'd always say, listen now, listen, watch this now. And so we went to his church, and he's now like 80 to 90 years old, but he's still preaching. And so we all went in, and of course we were a little nervous because it was more of a formal church when we got there. And of course, this is as formal as, yes, and we were down to our last clothes. So I had literally one shirt left. You get the idea. But they were very welcoming to us and very kind. And it was an amazing time. And actually, he's not strong enough. He's not teaching all the time. But he happened to be there that very day that we were going to church there. But wait, that's not all. There's more. Okay, so here, right, I just want to share this with you. It's one thing, and I hope I'm not stealing anybody's thunder. But let me just tell you, the last two lessons we had in this church was God speaking. That's what we're talking about, listening to God. That's what we talked about, okay? So that was the message that we left with. We left the next day after listening to God, okay? So then we went up, right, to the Ark Encounter, creation, the flood, Noah, right? And the book was all about, you know, not being a fan, but being a follower, and trusting in the Lord and obeying him, right? Okay, that's all it was about, is to challenge your faith. If anybody hasn't read that book, I would encourage you strongly. So we get there, and I've listened to him devotionals books probably for about 20 years, okay, as a Christian. And I don't remember, and one of the other parents said, I've never heard him teach on this either, but I've never heard him ever teach on this in all these years. And he said, I'm going to teach. I've been around, a generation is 40 years. I've been around more than two generations. And I just want to tell you, today we're going to talk about Noah and the flood. And all the kids are like, doink! The eyes go open because they're thinking, we just came from the ark. You got to be kidding me. And of course, I'm thinking, Lord, you have got to be kidding me. And here's what he talks about. Here's what his points. It's etched into my brain. Okay? God saved Noah, okay, and his family. The rest of the world was judged with a flood. But God saved him. And here's the reason why. Because this is what Noah was already doing. Noah was doing three things. Noah, number one, listened to God speak. And I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. That's what we left on. That was the sermon right before we left. That's amazing. And that's amazing that he's talking about Noah. God, what do you do? And then he's talking about Noah listened to God, he trusted God, and he obeyed God. It was basically absolutely everything that we were going over the whole trip was summarized in his sermon on the last day right before we came home. And that Charles Stanley's church wasn't planned. That was the Lord. Just happened to be a few miles away. And, hey, why don't we do that? One of the host family was super nice. And actually, Uncle Mark, we gave him not a fan book. and he read half of it so far. So keep praying. It's really wonderful. And so he's like, hey, yeah. By the way, the church is there. So it was just amazing. God's hand was over the whole thing. So one of the kids, or some of the kids, I should say, made up a video. And some of the kids couldn't be here tonight. So I haven't seen the video. So there's always a little bit of fear and trepidation in a nice, loving way. So, and then each of the kids are going to share just something, and I don't know what they're going to share either. So, but just please make them feel welcome because God was doing a work in them. And so why don't we start off, if you could, with the video, if that's ready, you think? Uh-oh, that's, you're making me nervous, Lord. We just pray. All right, we'll see. And if it's not, then we'll start bringing people up while you work on it.
Come on. felt you grasping. Yep, I had you in my heart, but I guess I relaxed. Like I'm living for the wrong reasons through the seasons. Trying to fall for you, but then they put me on blast. It's like I try to speak my mind because I know that I'm his. And yep, I try to speak my mind, but it don't fly with them kids. Man, if I'm not talking about the newest Nikes or releases, they put the mute on me. I can't speak about my Jesus like I'm living for him. I'm slipping the sin. I turn around and make the amends. I try to fit in. I mess it up and stumble again. I'm taking this pen and writing everything so I remember just how sweet that it is. Yeah, man, I got issues. I can't even lie. My only saving grace is knowing I got you inside. I'm done with saving face. I don't got a thing to hide. So don't leave me alone. Keep coming day and night.
Don't leave me alone. Bust down the door of my heart, Lord, it's yours.
Anybody's doors off. We've got a few that were videotaped, but I'm going to also pass around some pictures. Now, all these pictures, I know a lot of the parents had to work and things like that working. So, but these are all these pictures here. If you're one of the parents or one of the kids, they're all free to you. We're going to give them all free. You can download your own copies of these, but we just thought we'd pass them around so you can just see how massive this thing is. Just to give you an idea, the Ark was built according to specs, so it was literally, it will literally blow you away as you're walking up to it, as we're driving up to it. everybody's like, I cannot believe it was that big. This is not a bathtub art or a fairy tale. This is what God really did. And there's three levels, just like it says in the ark. I mean, and it's the length of almost, just to give you an idea, of two football fields. Okay? It's a few hundred feet short of the Titanic. Okay? Just to tell you how big this thing was. And it took, what, Noah, you know, 50 years, 100 years, I forget now, to build. You know, so this is an amazing thing that God did. And they built it to spec, and it's just amazing by hand. It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah, what they did studies on all the different boats, and this was the only one that would have been able, like all different kinds of boats, all different legends, this is the only one that, according to scientific data, could actually float and withstand. They had, you know, electronic diagrams and... Yes, all these flood accounts, this is the only one, according to the Bible, and according to scientists, that would have made it. Oh, well, the reason is, no, because what they have is they've hollowed out the bottom for a gift shop. So, all right, so I'm going to pass these around. You guys can kind of look at them, if you would just pass them down. Didn't have a gift shop. Okay, so we haven't, I don't know if any of you guys have decided, but who wants to be the first guinea pig? I mean, who wants to, Jojo, you want to come first? I just heard my wife say Joe. Joe. All right. Now, I want to let you know something about Joe. So we're going to take a minute. And I want to let you know that Joe took a real leadership position as we were on this trip. I mean, he was helping to lead people. Hey, guys, let's do our devotions. Hey, let's put away the electronics. Hey, guys, maybe they're not letting us have our electronics so we can focus on the Lord. You know, hey, guys, he was just taking a real godly. I know he doesn't like the attention. He hates when I do stuff like this. But I want you to know that I was so very proud of this young man and how he's grown. And he was just rocking it in the Bible study. So I know this is very scary, so give him a round of applause. It's a big step for him. All right, so I'm going to give you this microphone. And then, yes, Jesse, you had a question? Well, you know what? We actually got in a different way, not by that ramp. There's another way in. It would have been cool if we would have went up through that front door. But yeah, you guys can pass. Yes. Yeah, what they did was they took and they snapped it in front. But some of the ones we took there, that was the actual thing. Yep. Okay, Joe, can I give you this? Yeah. So if you would just look at those and then pass them along, that would be wonderful. Well, that's a good question. What you're looking at, go ahead. Yeah, no, there was one door on the ark, and that was the only way to be saved. See, what God was doing was giving a picture of Jesus Christ. You see, the rest were condemned. And the Bible says that there is only one way for salvation, that there's no other name given to men by which, through Jesus Christ, and it says that he's the door. And so God was even giving a picture back then that the door was open to anyone, but only Noah and his family got saved. So the same way with Jesus, it's open to everyone, but yet only a few will say are going to go through it. Okay. All right, Jojo, are you ready, big man?
So. You can do it.
Here.
All right. Okay. So first of all, I really enjoyed the trip, and I really enjoyed this book. I recommend that everyone here reads it, if you haven't already, and if you have, read it again. So before I get to talking about like what I liked about the Ark and the museum, I just wanted to talk about a little something here in the book that...
Can I turn the light for you? Can you read it?
I can read it. But this part really hit me. So I have two verses here, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And in this book, it talked about how in John 3:16, it shows that everyone and anyone can come to Jesus. if they accept him, you know. And then the other verse is Luke 9:25 that says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this book not only shows that you can follow Jesus and Jesus will accept you, but it also shows that there are regulations and there's certain regulations you need to be able to follow Jesus. So what I got from it is that if you want to follow Jesus, you have to give up the things of this world. You can't follow Jesus and keep drinking or keep smoking or keep cussing. It's, you know, part of being a Christian to give all that up. What I really like about this book is that it can help people that aren't believers come to Jesus, but it can also help people that are already believers to grow more in Jesus and help their, relationship grow and get more intimate and, all right, sorry, I don't like talking in front of people.
So basically what I hear you saying is that, yes, it's for everyone, but it's not just, is it just belief, or does that belief then produce obedience in our life?
Mm-hmm.
So the belief is...
And a constant thing that they kept repeating over and over in this book is that you can't believe and not follow. You need to believe in order to follow, and you need to follow if you believe. They go together. You can't just have one. Because a lot of people say they believe, and that may be true sometimes, but if you look at their actions, you can tell that, hey, maybe this person doesn't really... Yeah, it's just worldly knowledge and not a spiritual relationship with Jesus. One of my favorite stories that they were talking about in this book is when, I don't remember her name, a woman came in and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and then, it shows how the Pharisees and Sadducees, that they were, when they were around everyone else, they were showing themselves like, hey, I'm a really spiritual person, God loves me, I love you all, blah, blah, blah. Then they turn around and do something completely different. They're being completely hypocritical about it. And that really shows that they were a fan and not a follower. They were just putting on a face when everyone else was around to make them feel better about themselves. Let me see what else I got here. Another reoccurring topic is how we can sometimes push Jesus over to the side. Like, you say that you've given up your life to him, you say that you have that relationship with him, but while your family's praying at the table, you're sitting on the couch watching a football game, you know, you're not even paying attention to it. You just keep him on the side, and then when things get bad, that's when you go to Jesus. But it can't be like that. You have to be with him all the time. You have to think about him all the time. You know, once you become a Christian, he becomes your life. You know, there's not really anything else you should be doing, except for, you know, praising him, I guess, you know. Not saying that watching sports is bad. So I think that's all I have right now for the book. I'm still reading through it. I'm almost done with it. And what I've read so far is really getting to me. You know, I love it. And like I said, I recommend that everyone in here reads this book. It can, like some of the other kids were saying, it changes your life, you know. Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. All right, so that's all I have for the book right now. I kind of want to talk about our experiences at the Creation Museum and the Ark. So first of all, both were really great. I love them. The Creation Museum was the one we went to first. That one had a lot of information about the Bible and all kinds of, you know, events that happened during creation. Yes. Yeah. It gives you all that information showing you, like, hey, God's real. This really happened. He really made everything. And I've actually heard that, I believe it was, like, atheists or another group that they went there trying to prove the Bible wrong, but they couldn't really find anything. And with the Ark, like I said, both were great, but I think that my favorite part was going to the Ark. Not because I thought the Creation Museum was not important, but or not important enough. They were both very important, but what I like about the Ark is that you hear the Noah story over and over and over and over, but you don't actually get to see what it was like. And one of the things that, when we first got there, we saw a teaching by one of the higher people there. I don't remember her name. But she was talking about how when you, she called them bathtub arcs. You see in like kids' books, you see the little ark that's basically you that's filled in. and all the animals are crammed in there. She was saying that that's not the way we should be teaching our kids, or myself because I'm still a kid, about the ark, because that's not how it was. God didn't tell Noah to build this little boat that you could build in like 2-3 weeks. This took a long time, and it was something massive and cool, you know.
Looks too much like a fairy tale.
Yeah. Another name they gave it was the fairy tale ark. Can I, Victor?
That's a whole other story for another time. It's a cute movie, but...
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that movie, there was a neighborhood we went through that we were excited because it kind of looked like a scene from Evan Almighty. We should be teaching kids about the true Ark, not the little toy one that you see every now and then, because that's not how it is. They need to know the truth. They need to know that God commanded Noah to build this massive, amazing thing to hold all the animals on the planet, except for the ones that fly and swim. And a lot of people, they'll argue, saying like, hey, Noah can't fit that many animals on the ark. He has to take two of each. It's not possible. But one of the things they talked about is that they only took, was it?
Each kind.
Two of each kind, not two of each, like, individual species, you know. So they could have taken two of a dog, and then over the years you get all these different breeds, you know. He didn't take two of every single species or breed or whatever. There was a little theater that showed when Noah was building the ark that someone came up and was like interviewing him. It doesn't really specify that it was that they did that in the Bible, but I could imagine, like, people did somewhat do that. They would go up to Noah asking, like, hey, what were you thinking? Why are you building this thing? And then Noah's, like, telling them, hey, this is from God. I'm sure some of them didn't take it lightly because Noah was saying that they're all going to die. So I think that's about it. I don't know. I really loved it. I recommend everyone here goes. It's awesome.
So Joe was scared about coming up and speaking, so he's having such a difficult time. You did great, Joe. Woo-woo. Elijah, are you next? Okay. All right. Elijah?
Start with the nod of hand first.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. During our trip, you know, Dad's been letting us go through this book called Not a Fan. And I just got to tell you, of all the books, I have never had a more impacting book in a Bible study, honestly. It just touched in some areas that I didn't think was possible. Like, it actually, like, in some areas a Christian, you know, doesn't usually think they're struggling with or have an issue with, this actually brings it out because it clearly teaches, like, the Bible is an instruction guide before, you know, you leave Earth, you know. But this helps you understand it. Like, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a translator or something like that. It had some really interesting facts and questions that asked me through this. Like, one of the things that I thought was most interesting is that God wants to really, he doesn't just want to, like, be a side thing. He wants to actually know you. He wants to form a relationship, a friendship. And in the book, it says that the writer, he's also a pastor, was ministering to this couple that was near divorce. They kept arguing and arguing and arguing. And the husband's like, well, what's wrong? What do you want from me? Why are you so mad at me? And she said, I feel like I don't even know you. She said, the Lord doesn't want you to just jump in there and just, you know, be in control. He wants to be in control. He wants to guide you and help you through your walk. He wants to actually form a friendship. He doesn't just want to be like, oh, sure, I go to church. Here I learn about the word, you know, do this, do that. Okay, back to the TV or the internet or something like that. He actually wants you to spend time like a friend would, you know. Like, you just don't go around and say hi to your best friend and just leave him out of there and just do your own thing. You try to spend time with your friend. You try to spend time, form a relationship, you know. Yeah, it was pretty, and I suggest this to every Christian who's on the right path or on the wrong path. I just suggest this to all of them. Yeah.
What about the Creation Museum of the Arts? Is there anything you want to share, or anything from the trip, or Dr. Stanley's church? Or...
Well, honestly, if I'd have to pick between the Creation Museum and the Ark, I'd definitely pick the Ark. I thought it was just going to be like, okay, so I guess this is going to be some kind of second Creation Museum. It's not. They actually did their best to be as realistic as they possibly could with the Ark. It was massive, and it was great. I didn't think it would be honestly that big. I thought it would be like, oh, it's just a replica. Like, I thought it would be a little replica, you know, like almost like, you know, 40 feet tall, like at least. This was huge, and it had everything that the Bible talked about the Ark presented. It was amazing. Yeah? Wait.
Well, they don't know where.
It's a replica.
Yeah. They built it to specs according to the Bible. So it's not the actual one they found and moved there. They just built it to the same specs. No, there's a couple folks that are saying it could be here in Turkey or like some family members whose house he's got to watch the DVD somewhere else. So, but yeah, so that is just built to the same spec. So you're walking through, and we're actually getting tired walking through each level and up the ramps. So, I mean, it was pretty amazing. If there was, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, you could say something.
No. Was there anything from the church or anything that you took with you, or no, that's about it?
Well, I'm still going on about the Ark encounter. Sorry. What I thought was kind of interesting, you know, is that, you know, the Creation Museum also proves some other things about that the Ark was real. Like, evolutionists say that something like the flood would have to take millions and millions of years to form, like, for that natural disaster, so-called natural disaster, to form over the Earth because it's so much rain. But, I think it was in the early 2000s, a volcano erupted, and I think in less than a minute, it covered an entire mile and destroyed nearly everything in its path. And it came unexpectedly, without warning, and it did so much damage in less than a minute. Just like the flood. And also what Joe said about the little fairy tale Ark. There's actually this room that showed, unfortunately, what nowadays our kids are actually growing up with, the little fairy tale Ark that looks like a little, you know, overpresented little fairy tale story for little kids. And it actually showed a little sign on the side in the room, and it showed the snake around it, and it said, if I can convince you that the flood didn't happen, I can also convince you that hell and heaven aren't real. Yeah. It also is a really good experience, and both, like, I suggest, it's definitely good for families, it's good for children, it's good for adults. It has amazing, like, I was surprised it has real cool models showing how the Ark could have, you know, collected rainwater through these systems and pulleys, and it also shows how it disposed of waste and stored food. Yeah. Yeah, how they, well, not robots, but I mean like systems.
But they did have robots on there too, right? Animatronics.
Oh, yeah, like when, yeah. Oh, yeah, for the people, yeah, in the Ark. Yeah, it was pretty good. I would suggest the Ark to anyone, yeah?
I would say 50 years, probably.
Oh, the replica.
It started in 2015, so 15, 16, 17. It's ended at 17, so 2 years. Yeah.
Good. Is there anything else that you want to say? You did a great job.
Well,
I just want to say one good thing about you.
Well, I definitely think that I love when we went to that church. It was really amazing. Like, I didn't think, like, I was glad I was able to see that preacher with my own eyes, you know, to teach, because, you know, I never got to really meet up close with Billy Graham, who sadly passed away. So that was, like, a real blessing to go and kind of, like, watch him teach. And just, I taught about the ark, which just, I have a feeling that God put it on his heart right there and then. That one time we just went in there, like, just for us. It just felt like God was just with us throughout the trip, helping us no matter what happened. Yeah. And a side comment, I kind of envied their church. Oh, we have a little projector over there. They have this huge camera that moves along the walls. And we at least got someone who could play the piano, someone with the guitar, you know, we got slides. They have a choir and an orchestra. Put them all together, that's 200 people. But hey, it's for the Lord.
Yes. That's awesome. Wait, I just want to tell you, yeah, he did a great job. Let's give him a round of applause. Elijah was such an amazing servant the whole time he was there. He was trying to serve. He was like, hey, do you need prayer? He was always looking to the needs of other people. He was being such a blessing. And I want to let you know I'm so very proud of you. And I'm just so thankful for you. And even what you shared, you did a fantastic job. You did a great job directing that that video as well. Yeah, so good job. Yeah, 250.
Welcome, buddy.
250 people in that choir. We knew we were in trouble when we saw the orchestra and everybody in their, you know, tuxedos rising up from the stage. We thought, oh boy. But it was awesome worship. Yes. Ashley, you want to come up? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what they did. Okay, Azaleen, you're next. Come here, beautiful. All right, ready? Okay. You can do it, Azaleen.
Okay. Okay. How, like, during the journey to Kentucky and everything, I just like it that how, like, no one was fighting. Because
yes. None of the kids
started a fight. I mean, we did get, like, a little frustrated sometimes, but we didn't start, like, a humongous fight or anything.
Thank you for your prayers.
Yes. That's the one of the main things I love. And then I just like it how Auntie Anne and Uncle Mark took us in. It's really cool how they, like show us their house and everything. They had a basement with a pool and treadmill and everything. Pool table, whatever. I don't care. It still has pool anyway. Okay, and it also had ping pong table. Anyways, it was a great house. And then we went to this other house. Supposedly it was been there ever since the 1800s.
Yeah, it was 200 years, 250 years old.
Yes, and slaves used to escape from these houses. Like, you know, with the dark skin and everything. They all, like, run away. That was an interesting thing to learn. And then the Creation Museum and the Ark. The Creation Museum, I just loved it. It had, like, a bridge, and then it showed, like, a Loch Ness Monster or something, like, made of moss or something. And then inside, it showed, like, dragons and everything, but it also showed dinosaurs, and it says that back then, they didn't call it dinosaurs. They call it dragons instead. Or maybe, like, giant lizards or something. And it did mention about a leviathan and a behemoth, similar to, like, a dragon or a dinosaur. Unicorns was a rhino, probably. No, they're not pretty horses. I'm sorry. Yes. And...
What did you like about the trip? Or what did you have devotional? We'll keep you on top.
They're not a fan book. I just love it. Like, one of the little stories. Like, they had, like, some cute and nice stories in here. Like, one of them, it's like, when you're hurt, where do you go for comfort? And that had me, and it talks about a little boy that went to, like, kindergarten school, and his mom, like, watching him and everything, and then whenever he comes home, he always tells his mom about this nice teacher and everything, and then she became kind of jealous, and then one day, like, she went out, like, in recess or something, like, the playground with the teacher talking. The boy got a little hurt, like he fell off the monkey bars or something, and then he ran to his mom when the mom was jealous that maybe that her son loves the teacher more. But that just shows that the son still loves his mom more than the teacher because he's not going to run up to a complete stranger. I mean, the teacher isn't a complete stranger, but it's not his mom. Because I would rather run to my mom. Whenever I get hurt, when I was little, probably.
And what does that? And what does that tell you? Like, what was it trying to say? Like when? What does that tell us? Does it tell us a lot that when we get hurt, when we're hurting, who do we run to?
Jesus.
Right. You can run to what else? What else could you run to besides Jesus? What are some things you could run to?
Your parents, guardian, grandparents, anyone.
You can run to what? Food.
True.
Video games. Drugs. Alcohol. You can run to all those things.
Yep.
But,
yeah.
As an adult, yeah.
So who you run to shows a lot about where you're at, right? When times are tough.
Yep. And I have a hard time with that, actually, because ever since I was little, I barely had any friends. Like, I had none. It was just me, my drawings, my mom, and my baby brother. And sometimes you. When I was little, I barely know you.
Well, I want to tell you something now. Oh, sorry. I want to tell you something too. Well, here's what I noticed on that trip. I noticed that you had lots of friends around you, and you had lots of people who loved you and cared about you. And so I just want to encourage you, as Deline, that you are a friend to everyone. And we appreciate you and we love you. Come here, give me a hug. I was also really proud of Azdeline, too, when she put away her artwork, which she is amazingly gifted at, and joined us in stuff, in devotions and games, and it was a great time, and she had a great time, and so I just really want to say I was really proud of her on how she did that, and I think she grew a lot from that, so I'm really proud of you. Good job. Let's give her a big round of applause. Okay, who's next? Couple more. Oh, go. Skylark? Skylar is her name. I'm sorry. It's a little pet name. No, you cannot. Unless she permits it.
No. So, the Not a Fan book was really good.
Skylar, how old are you?
13.
Are you nervous at all talking in front of these people? Are you okay?
Kind of in the middle.
You're doing great. Okay, go ahead.
Not a Fan book was really good. I really enjoyed it, and The Creation Museum, my favorite part of it was going through the Garden of Eden because the flowers, and then they had Eve when she took the fruit off the tree. They had the snake and Adam. Yes. No. So that was my favorite part of the Creation Museum, and then going through the ark, even from when we were parked, it looked really big from where we were. And then when we got there, it was amazing. And when we went in, it surprised me a lot because what I grew up was the little tiny ones. When I was, like, in nursery or, like, a playroom, that's all we had. So it was really cool to see it. And then the room where they had the books and the fairy tale arcs in it. And it was a really good experience.
That's Okay, can I ask you a question then? All right, what about, I'm going to ask you two more things. You're doing really great, by the way. Okay, so in your devotional time, I remember something that you told me in chapter, I can't remember if it was chapter one or chapter two of the book that you really liked. Do you remember what that was? I know you don't have it with you, but what, oh, maybe you do. But do you remember, like, was it define the, what was it that really spoke to you? Do you remember? Or, like, what was challenging about it? What was it? And we're kind of putting you on the spot a little bit. So, but was there something that really challenged you as we were going through it? Like, why did you like it so much? Because I noticed every time you'd be reading it, even when I say, hey, can we read ahead? And normally you guys don't do that. So what was so, yeah, what was touching you about it? You know, I mean.
In the chapters that we read on the trip, mostly said, are you a follower or a fan of Jesus? Which, if you're a follower, you will follow him and obey him. But it says if you're a fan, you know of him, but you won't follow him.
In the hard spots.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And what about Charles Stanley's church? Was there anything there that you, did you enjoy that? Or was it just like,
yeah.
What was it?
Cool, because we just went through the week going through the Creation Museum and Ark, and when we got there, we were all surprised that he was teaching about Noah.
It was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Yeah. Cool. Okay, is there anything else you want to say? Okay.
On the car ride there and back, there was a little fussing about the seating because it was so crowded. And was it?
All right, one last thing. Just to let you guys know, I was a little bit jealous of Skylar for most of the trip when we were in the Creation Museum and when we were at the Ark. You see, her and Azdaline got their own room where I had to sleep in one big massive room with a little cut off with a little opening with about 10 boys. So they got to shut their door with their own private bathroom, where I was with these snoring, loud boys. Whatever, talk to the hand. All right, Skylar. But she did a great job. I was so proud of her with her reading. Honestly, every morning she was like the first, can we read ahead? Can we read some more? I really want this. I really speaks to me. And so it was really awesome just to hear you enthused about the Lord and excited about sharing. I love that you were doing that. And I was very proud of you on the trip. You did fantastic. All right, good job. Let's give a round of applause. Oh, one more thing. Wait.
So I was thinking when we were there that my grandma and grandpa would like to go, but my grandpa usually doesn't like going to museums. So when I got there and I went through both, I thought to myself, I'm going to ask my grandma when my grandpa gets out of the rehab if we can go and see it. Because, like, he went to another museum with us, and he thought he wasn't going to like it, but then it turned out that he actually liked going to it. So, and I think that it would be a good experience for our whole family, and most of our family lives in Ohio, so we could bring them down to see it, because most of them up there aren't Christians, so it would be a good experience for them to come down and see it.
Way to go, kid. All right, good job. All right, we got a couple more. Nathan,
come on, Nathan.
Nathan, you have to wait, honey, to that chair. Okay.
Great.
Nathan's going to sing for us. Go ahead, Nathan.
Okay, so one of the main things I discovered or that I found interesting about the trip or the Bible study on the trip that we had, was that, like Joe said, about having a mask on. Basically, in the Bible, Adam and Eve, once they sinned, they tried to hide from God in the garden, but like by putting on like a hidden mask. But God can basically see through anything, so that didn't really matter. He still knew where they were. So that's one thing. Also, another thing I picked up from the book was,
we put on masks today, do you think? Do you think a lot of Christians, sometimes we put on masks today, like, just, you know, I think we do that in a different way today, like being hypocritical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, another thing I found was basically how it says that many people will think they're on the right path, like to heaven, but they're actually on the wrong one. They said that the path to heaven is narrow and the path to hell is much wider and more open. So the majority of people will follow the path that is easier to take other than the other one. Yeah. From the Creation Museum and the Ark, I would personally say that my favorite was the Ark, but for anyone who's trying to come to Jesus who isn't already a Christian, I would say the Creation Museum, because, yeah, just teaches them a lot more than the Ark actually did, but the Ark showed, like, what it was like. It was impressive, though.
Good. Now, let me ask you. Now, okay, so I just want to tell you something real quick about Nathan. Now, Nathan has come a long way, I just want to say, over the last year or two. For him to get up here and to speak to all of you with a microphone is a life-changing experience for this young man, and I am so proud of him. He spoke for such a long time on each devotional day. I remember coming back telling his mom, yeah, he was sharing. He's like, Nathan? Yeah, every day. Every day? Yeah, he would share during devotional time. He would do an amazing job. That's great. I said, it was. And it was really good stuff. And so anyway, I just want to say how proud I am of you. And I know you were very scared to come up here, but you manned up and you did it. And you did a great job. Is there anything else you want to say before you go? Okay, you did great. Okay, who else? We got a couple more. Okay, who? Oh, Hezekiah. Come on up, buddy. I think we got a couple more. I don't know if we'll have time for the videos, but we'll. Oh, we might. Yes.
So, first to start off, I have something in my mouth, like something from the orthodontist, so I can't speak correctly. So that's going to be a problem. But stop. But okay. So the first thing is with the trip that we went up to, there was no fighting. No one was like really upset and stuff like that. It went really smooth. You know, sometimes on road trips, things can get really heated for some reason. You know. But it was really smooth, so. The Creation Museum was a really good experience, and it showed a lot about the archaeology of the Bible and stuff in Genesis. And also, we got to see a bunch of shows on evolution versus creation there, and about the Ark as well, which was really good because that led up to the Ark experience. And I just wanted to share something from a not fan, because it was a really good book. And the thing I wanted to share was that fans, you know, one of the key things that shows someone is a fan is that they're not relying on the Holy Spirit, they're relying on their own strength. And that always ends in failure, no matter how, you know, how hard you try. Also, it also was really good that pointed out was many people fool themselves with a mask so long that they even fool themselves. So, as for the Ark, as we said, the fairy tale Ark, but that room was really powerful. Also, we got to see Ken Ham, the guy that built the thing. He was doing a tour with a bunch of people. Some of us got to speak to him. I wasn't one of them because I was kind of nervous. So I did get to meet Buddy Davis. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, it was just a really good trip overall. And we learned a lot from this book. I wish I could have like an hour to talk about everything in here. But of course, you'd all be bored. So here you go.
Okay. Well, here, I'm just going to, yeah, go ahead. It took about 3 years for them to build it with, you know, $100 million. Yes, yeah, but the biblical ark was probably, you know, around 50 plus, you know, 50 to 100 years. So, yeah. So that's a long time.
Snow is good. Yes, Brandon. Oh yeah, you can go. You did a great job, Hezekiah. He was also helping keep everybody in line. He did a really great job. And judge and executioner. No. He did a really great job. Okay, wait, where's the pastor? Pastor? Oh, Jonathan. I'm talking to you. Come on up. Okay. Oh. It's a little bit over, so Jonathan, why don't you hook up your things, and we'll just have to probably, yeah, and maybe do your videos in the morning. So we'll just, the students that unfortunately aren't here, I wanted to show their videos, but we are way over time. Michael, if there's something that you, do you want to, no, okay, all right, okay, now I want to tell you a little bit about Jonathan real quick. He's going to be, I guess, the last person as he's setting up his thing, just to encourage you. All right, Jonathan's like really quiet. He's a quiet kid. And so when he's, you know, during devotional time, we like found Jonathan, all of a sudden somebody flipped a switch in him. And so I started calling him Pastor Jonathan. Because he's like, yeah, I just want to share a couple of verses, and we'd be down to like the 10th verse of what God spoke to me. And so it was pretty amazing what he did, and so we nicknamed him the pastor. Although him and Joe and Nicholas, who isn't here tonight, their first opportunity, we pulled over for some snow. They've never, most of these, Joe, you never saw snow in your whole life? Yes. Within 5 seconds, Nicholas fell, and of course, it's wet, and it's clay, and so it's muddy, and then Joe went down 3 times in like 5 minutes. Yes. And Jonathan went down as well. And so, but you guys, it was a wonderful time and a wonderful experience, and I'm so glad you guys got to at least, you should have heard it. When they're seeing this white stuff come down, you can hear it in the car. I got a little video of it. They're like, guys, I think that's, it's snow. I think it's snow. And then it really started coming down, and the whole car just erupted. All the kids are like, they're all sticking their hands out the window. Don't tell your parents that anyway. But they're all, it's amazing. That's why we had to pull over, and so it was such a cool time. So, come here, Jonathan. What? That was the only place we actually, thank God we did. We pulled over. Miss Wendy Joe said, you know, we better pull over. This is an opportunity. And I was like, I think it's a good idea. And so we pulled over, and that's all. It was a good thing we did, because we never saw snow on the ground again. Even though when we got up there, we thought we'd see snow. The whole time we never saw snow again, but it was barely packed. And that was the only time in the whole trip, was that little tiny window of time. It was probably an hour, and it was amazing. All right, Pastor. You know what? We could close with that video.
All right.
Did you ask Michelle
Ball? Oh, shoot. Okay, I'll do that. Okay. You just start speaking. All right, start speaking. That's okay. What I'm gonna do. So, hello everyone. I'm Jonathan, and this is Shepherd's Heart Super Adventure. We went on the trip. So yeah, can you click it?
Whoa. It feels great, buddy.
So, we read this book, obviously, you've heard about it millions of times already. So, it's just Not a Fan by Kyle Idleman. Everyone could say, oh, it was a great book, you know, and it was an awesome book. Like, you can't say it was great at all, because this was amazing. Like, and it really tells you if you're a fan or a follower of Jesus. Like, you can't be a follower. You can be a follower.
You're doing good.
He's already walking around. See that? He's got the passage.
You know, let me tell you. So, yeah, you can't be. So, yeah, you can't be a fan and think you're a follower. It's just not right. So, look. Okay, so we read this, like, 2 chapters a day in the morning about the book, and we would do a Bible study at nighttime, like you've also heard a million times. And we would do a Bible study and about it, and that's where he kept calling me pastor. So, guess I'm a pastor now, taking your job. So, yeah, you're out. Yeah, you're out. So,
just know what you're getting into.
I'll send it to you, son.
Oh, no. Okay. So we read about the book, and it was really interesting to me. But there was a lot of stories in here of people, like real people, that would go through these things that they taught about in the book. And I really just got into the believing in the faith part. Like, you need to have your faith and stuff. And you can't have faith without believing, or whatever. Anyway, what they were saying earlier, like, you can't follow and not believe in anything. Like, oh, what are you following then?
You have to believe and follow, right? That belief is going to produce actions in your life.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can have faith in anything. Like, I just had faith to sit in the chair without even looking at it. Like, I knew it wasn't about to break and fall over. And it's just, everyone has faith here in something. And you can't just have faith, or say you have faith in a chair. You have to have faith in something more important than that. So, yeah, the book was really interesting about the believing in faith. So, and it did say faith. It didn't mean faith was more important than believing. So, nobody get that in their head. So, just want to make sure of that. So, I'm going to keep doing that. So, I have a bunch of scriptures, like I did in the Bible study. So, this is my favorite scripture that I caught on the verse, or on the verse, on the trip. When we were riding in the car and Bible study. So, do not be afraid. And be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. Deuteronomy 31:6. And it's just really interesting. You can't be afraid of anything. So, yeah. And these verses spoke to me in the Bible study. So, 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, lust is the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So God, you can say God gives you everything and all that. Like, he can give you, he made everything. But he did not give you the lust. Yeah, he didn't give you all the sins and stuff. Like, of course the devil did. So some people can mistake that. And James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So a lot of people say, like, oh, I just can't get rid of this devil guy, you know? So, yeah, obviously you can. So, and these are some verses about patience, because a lot of people need that. And I don't need that. Of course, me. Anyway, so 2 Samuel 5, 4-5, these are some examples. When David was 30 years old, he became king and reigned for 40 years. And Hebron? How do you say that?
Yep, Hebron.
Yep. See, I'm a pastor now. Yep. He reigned in Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years. So that's an example of having patience, obviously. And Genesis 29:20. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Now, that's an exaggeration, obviously. That is not, yeah, Jacob.
We're learning about Jacob and Esau in school, and how Jacob's uncle, or something, tricked him and said, because he got so drunk at night, and in the morning he was like, you know, I wasn't supposed to marry you.
Yeah.
You're not the right wife. And then
Laban
said,
you have
to marry the firstborn, and then you can marry the one you want to marry, but you
gotta
work
out
for 7 years.
Yeah. I just want to let you know, you might have some.
Another
one coming up, I'm just saying.
Be quiet, don't talk.
Okay. No.
Anyway.
He's a new pastor.
Yeah.
Yes, great.
All right, let him finish.
See, I kicked him out already. Psalm 75:2 says, you say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge thee, judge with equity. So yeah, that just really, those verses spoke to me on the trip and the, you know, in the museum and all that. So click, 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 click. Okay, Matthew, respect, we have to have respect for people. We can't just be rude to them and say, yeah, of course I'm a follower of Jesus. What do you think? I go to church, I pray, I, you know, but you can have that mask on and stuff. Let me get back to that, though. So Matthew 7:12 says, so in everything you do to others, what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. All right? Then Titus 2:7 says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness. So you really want to, what was I going to say? Yeah. Yeah, but it also says, like, everything. Like, you can say, yeah, oh, everything's, is like, not exaggerated. Like, everything, he doesn't actually mean everything. He means everything, okay? So, yeah. And the fake mask thing, like, someone once told me, I bet we were all worshiping and stuff, and some people weren't participating. They were just standing there, just watching, you know? And someone told me that if Jesus walked in this room, I bet all of you would change right now. You guys wouldn't be standing there just watching him, watching and not praising him. So, but that's putting on a mask. Do you think God or Jesus would really want that? So then he'd even, like, cast you out more. Not cast you out, but, like, you know.
He wants us to be the same, right? Home, yeah. At school, at church,
yeah.
Youth group.
You can go to Christian school, Christian church, or a church, obviously, and do whatever you want and stuff. But, you know, you can go home where you don't know any, or, well, you know people, but anybody at your church is there, like, you're just acting so much different. But if a friend comes over that goes to the church, you're going to act so much different around them. You're going to be so, like, you know,
and does God want that
respectful. No, because that's, yeah, that's your mask. And, so click. You had to say something else?
Okay.
No?
Yes. Okay, so there's a song that by Becca Shea that we're going to play.
Michael?
Might want to turn on the volume. I don't know how loud or not it's going to be.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
We need to wake up, acknowledge his presence when he comes in.
And hear what he's saying, cause there's a mistake.
That's right, we need the
We're
truth.
We're doing forever in our midnight.
Your race is up
and
to you.
And Abba says he's gonna help us win it.
He got me feeling like,
ooh. I knew it when I met him. He's loved me since forever.
Got me feeling like,
so anyway, you know, Jonathan, I just want to let you know that's been in my head every second for the last week and a half. I just got it out of my head. So that's what I'm going to be singing all next week. So let's just take a minute and let's just thank the Lord. And so sorry for those who we didn't get to show the videos, Wendy Jo and some of the other ones. But Lord, we just want to say thank you for each student and what you're speaking to their hearts, Lord God, that it's all about a relationship with you, Lord, that you don't want hypocrisy in our lives. You want us to be real before you, Lord God. You want us to be not fans that fall away when things get rough, or just like a team, Lord. You want us to be followers. And, Lord, it's going to cost us something, Lord. That's what your word says. In fact, your word says in Luke that he who does not give up everything cannot be my disciple. And so it's going to cost us everything, even our very lives. And so, Lord, help each one of us, Lord, starting with these students and each one of us in this room, Lord, in this church, in this school, to live a life worthy of the gospel, giving up our lives for your life, Lord, that you can live in and through us, Lord, doing what you want to do, saying what you want to say, and being who you want us to be, Lord God. That we would simply be your instruments, Lord, to a world that's drowning in a flood of depravity. So we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the door that's Jesus Christ, Lord. And if there's anyone here who does not know you, I pray that he'll grab someone here today, Lord, and say, I want to come to know you, Jesus. I want to enter that door and be saved, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for each of the students and the parents and the families and the ones who weren't able to be here today, Lord. We pray your blessing on them, Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and your precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a good night.